Good evening. We already had two shirim on Pikuach Nefesh. Tonight is the third topic, and as Yoni Rei announced in Shul this past Shabbos, the third shir of a two-part series. So that kind of means that we went over, but that's to be expected. I'd like to talk about two topics with you tonight. The first topic is Pikuach Nefesh as far as it applies to returning from a life-saving mission. In other words, I go to take somebody to the hospital, and it's a pikuach nefesh situation, then am I allowed to go back home after? I'm a doctor who goes to engage in pikuach nefesh, but as we all know, we hate spending Shabbos in the hospital, and after the doctor finishes putting the person back together, so then the doctor says, okay, I want to go back home. Right? His wife and kids want him. Right? Her husband and kids want her. Whatever the case is, are you allowed to return back home after a life-saving mission? So that's question one that we'll address tonight. And question two, which we will see is actually connected to question number one, is everybody's infamous topic, the famous topic about saving the lives of non-Jews on Shabbos. So I decided to call it tonight, Returning from Life-Saving Missions and Other. Other means saving non-Jews. We don't like to say it in public because, we'll discuss it.
That already shows we have a problem.
Right. We'll talk about everything. We will hear what Noah Feldman has to say later.
Noah Feldman,
awesome. Fine. So, in terms of returning from life-saving missions on Shabbos, what we'll see is that this is actually a machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, whether the ambulance driver is allowed to go back home. But in order to get to the Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's just begin by going through the basic sources that we have over here, and then we'll understand it a bit better. There is a concept in halacha called hituru sofa and mishum tchilasan. The concept basically means that the end is permitted because of the beginning. In other words, that the Gemara says that there are certain things that we permit you to do, the final result, because we want you to do the beginning of the process, and we know that if you can't do the final result, you won't engage in the beginning of the process either. This is a Gemara in Beitza on Daf Yud Aleph on the base. And the Gemara tells us that there are three things in Judaism that's Hitur Sofa Mishum Tchilasan. Without going into the details, these are complicated cases in Hilchos Yom Tov. One case is a case of Trisim, which is returning doors on small boxes. We want you to have the doors on the boxes on Yom Tov because somehow it enhances your Simchas Yom Tov. Putting the door on the box on Yom Tov is okay for Ochel Nefesh. Taking the door off the box is not going to be okay. Hitur Sofa Mishum Tchilasan, right? The Gemara says that they're both going to be permitted. The Gemara talks about two other cases in terms of Hachzaras Ritiya. If there's a Kohen who has a little bandage on his finger, same type of idea. Hitur Sofa Mishum Tchilasan. What is not mentioned there in the Sugya in Beitza is what we would say is the famous case. Let's look here in the Mishnah in Erevin. Mishi yatzar birshus v'amru lo kvar na'asa ma'asa yesh lo alpayim amo l'chol ruach. Right? There's a halacha of tchumen on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which means I can only walk 2,000 amos. Let's say I go out birshus. I leave my tchum with permission of the rabbis. Why do I leave the tchum? Because I want to go to do some kiddush levana. Right? And to tell the Bezdin that you see the new moons, I start to walk to the Bezdin, and then they tell me, Kfar Nasa Masa, by the way, you should know you're a little bit late, people already came and they declared the new month, right? So the halacha is, Yesh Alpayim Amo L'chol Ruach. Even though usually if you leave the Tchum, so you only have four Amos, you can't walk more than 8 feet, but if you leave the tchum with permission, you have 2,000 amos wherever you go. I remember as a kid, I was in Camp Monk. So there was another camp, around 2 miles down the road, Camp Chedva, that everyone liked to get to.
So,
how old were you? How old was I? 15, 16.
Oh.
So, So a few young men decided to visit their cousins in Camp Chedva on a Shabbos. So they took the walk to Camp Chedva. And when they got to Camp Chedva, so the rabbis in Chedva told them, by the way, you guys walked out of the Tchum, so therefore you're stuck, you can only stay in your four amos. So they were locked in a closet in Camp Chedva all Shabbos. Then, of course, after Shabbos, they were sent home. But, okay, these are good stories. So if you leave the Tchum, but you leave with permission, if you go to Camp Chedva on Shabbos, you're not going for a legitimate halachic reason, so you're stuck on with your four amos. But if you go for a legitimate halachic reason, the halach is that you have 2,000 amos. Im hayu betocha tchum ki ilu lo yatza, if the place where I go to is within the 2,000 amos of where I left, so it's as if I didn't leave. Fine, not a big deal. Then the Mishnah says, kol hayotz im lahatzio chuzun lemkoman. If I go out to save people on Shabbos, so then I'm allowed to return to my place. And the Gemara understands this. The Gemara picks up on the next source, kol hayotz im lahatzio chuzun lemkoman afilu l'tuva. That means even more than 2,000 amos. Didn't you tell me originally that you can only go 2,000 amos? So the Gemara answers what this means. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav shechozrin b'chleizayin limkoman, that you're allowed to return to where you left with your weapons. Remember, I'm going out lahatzel. The Jews are being attacked by some invading army, so I'm allowed to return to my place with my weapons. Fine. So then the Gemara says, "Umay kusha dum lahatzo shani." What's the big idea? What's the chiddush? Of course, you're allowed to do this. You're saving people. Ela ikasha hakasha. Ditna, but Rishon lo hayuzazin misham kol hayom kulo. Hiskim Rabbi Gamliel hazakin shehelahen alpayim ama lechol ruach. Meaning to say, originally the Edom who went to be mekadosh Levana would be stuck. Then Rabbi Gamliel Zakin said they have 2,000 amos. The Gemara asks a question. What are you telling me? That if I'm a midwife and I go to deliver a baby, so I have only 2,000 amos, but we said in our Mishnah that I'm allowed to be chozer l'mekoman. I'm allowed to return to where I started from. So the Gemara answers, right? And etc. So the Gemara says, no, that's only because of Maisa Shahaya. The Gemara answers that the reason why they're allowed to return is because once upon a time, the Gemara tells a story. In other words, once upon a time, what happened was the people didn't go all the way back. Originally, they thought you only have 2,000 amos. Once upon a time, they didn't want to return carrying their weapons, so they left the weapons where they were, and the enemies came and the enemies killed them. So, based on that case that once happened, they say that from now on, if you go out to save people, you go out to war, so you're allowed to return all the way with your weapons. That's what the Gemara answers. And the Gemara says, this is talking about Kanshanatsko Yisrael Umas Olam, Kanshanatsko Umas Olam, as Atman, etc. Okay, this Gemara is complicated. Basically, what's going on here in the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara asks, there's a difference. If I go out to help an individual, I go out as a midwife to deliver a baby, I only have 2,000 amos to return. But if I go out to save people, I can return all the way. Not only can I return all the way to where I started from, but I can also bring my weapons back when I come back. What's the difference? So the Gemara says the difference basically is because once upon a time, the people left their weapons there and they didn't go all the way back and they ended up being killed. So they made a special rule that you're allowed to take your weapons back. Now, why are we doing this? We're doing this Gemara because according to this Gemara, it would seem that you're never allowed to really go back all the way, no? Only in a situation of if you go out to war. But if I go out just to save somebody, I can't return all the way back home. I only can return 2,000 amos. Point one. Point two, am I allowed to do any malacha? So tchumen, is tchumen a malacha? No, tchumen we assume is drabbanon. Right? There's no isidor reis of tchumen. So I'm not really doing any malacha at all. The only time I can do a malacha is when I go out with my weapons to war. Then, because of that one case that once upon a time happened, I'm allowed to carry my weapons back. Carrying my weapons back is a malacha of hotza'ah. I'm carrying on Shabbos. Right? They didn't live in Washington Heights. They didn't have an Eruv. So, you're carrying back. How could they do that? That was a special eventuality. The simple reading of this Gemara is that there is no permission to do a malacha when you return from a life-saving mission. The only time there's permission to do a malacha is when you went out to fight a war. Then after the war, you're allowed to go back with your weapons because you never know, the war is over. It could be they're going to come and attack you again. You always have to carry your weapons with you. But if I go out as a midwife or as a doctor to save somebody, I do not have a heter to return. That is the simple reading of this Gemara. Rav Moshe Feinstein, however, wants to interpret that our Gemara is really giving permission for people who go out on a life-saving mission to return all the way doing malacha. And Rav Moshe says it's based on a Tosfos. You see, remember, we began with this principle of Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan means sometimes they say that we allow you to return because if we don't allow you to return, maybe you won't go out initially. Right? Our Gemara seems to have nothing to do with Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. Our Gemara seems to be a case of Pikuach Nefesh. I'm allowed to return carrying my weapon because maybe they'll kill me if I don't have my weapon with me. But Tosos asks, here, the Tosos, the third source here, Hadlo Choshevlei in the Gemara in Beitza, Gamehanach Gimel Dituru Sofa Mishum Tchilas. And Tosos asks, how come this case of returning with your weapons is not listed there as Hituru Sofa Mishum Tchilas? So Tosos answers, Mishum Dezeh Eino Chedesh. Because it's obvious that you're allowed to go back. The Gemara in Beitza is talking about Chidushim. Those are new ideas. This is obvious. That's what Tosfos says. Rav Moshe says that based on Tosfos, you have to reinterpret this entire Gemara. And the Gemara is not giving us permission to return from a life-saving mission because you're saving a life, right? When I carry my weapon back, it's not only because it's Pikuach Nefesh, but it's because of that general idea, Hituru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. The general idea that we allow you to return because we want people to engage in life-saving missions, and if we're not going to allow you to return, maybe you're going to be hesitant to go out in the first place. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, we allow a doctor to drive back after he engages in a life-saving mission. It's not really the Gemara, where if Moshe is reading the Tosfos back into the Gemara in a complicated sort of way, that everything is based on Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. Now, Rav Moshe, if you want, yeah, I have the sources here in the Rav Moshe at the bottom of this page. We'll go over to the top of the next page. Rav Moshe says it. I'm not lying to you. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagrees. But let's take the Rav Moshe apart. Rav Moshe basically says that you are allowed as a doctor to drive back. Not only in the situation that you have the one oxygen tank with you, and they might need that oxygen tank where you started, but even in the case that it's just because your wife and kids want you home, says Rav Moshe, you're allowed to drive back on Shabbos. It's problematic for a few reasons. First of all, take a look at the Magen Avraham here. Here it's. The Gemara says, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, HaShochet Behema An Yom Tov, Tov Lo Shelo Yivdok Ad Sheyavshet, Shem Timotei Trefa Lo Yehe Rashai Lahavshita. Remember, I'm a lot of Shecht animals in Yom Tov, right? Why? Ocho Nefesh. It's edible. Now, what about skinning the animal in Yom Tov? That's also permitted, right? You can't eat the animal unless you skin it. Not a problem. The halacha, though, is that if an animal is non-kosher, I can't skin the animal in Yom Tov. Usually, I also can't eat an animal if it's non-kosher, right? So then I can't skin the animal. So far, so good. When I shecht an animal, I'm supposed to check it. I check the lungs, no? This is, I actually want to do a shul field trip to Shechita house at some point. I think it would be really cool. Basically what you do after you shech the animals, you cut the stomach open, you reach your hands in, you feel around the lungs, you feel around the outside, you blow up the inside of the lungs also, and then, okay, we don't want to be too graphic, but you feel, you only check the lungs of the animal, right, to make sure that there's no adhesions, to make sure that it's not a treif animal. Right, that's what treif means. Treif means that there's some, well, treifa literally means the animal is ripped up. In colloquial expression, treif means that there's an adhesion on the lung. Shulchan Aruch says, when I shecht an animal on Yom Tov, I do not check the animal until after the skinning. I'm like cheating. Right? Usually, first you check the animal, then you skin it after. But over here, I'm worried maybe the animal's not going to be kosher, and then I can't skin it. So first I skin it, and then I check it, because if it would be a treif, I couldn't skin it. Fine. Says the Magen Avraham, I don't understand.
Why do I have a right to assume it's kosher before I check it?
What?
Why do I have a right to assume it's kosher before I check it?
So, the reason is because we check animals because it's only a 10% likelihood it's going to be non-kosher. 90% it is kosher. It's more than rove. It's a strong rove. It's more than rove. We only check animals because it's a small likelihood that's non-kosher.
The point of wanting to leave your, do it in such a way that you'll be able to skin it, is this because you're going to be wanting to save the skin to use for something else?
Well, I'll save the skin and use it for something else after, for sure. And also, I want to eat the animal. You can't eat the animal when the skin's on it. Right? If it's not kosher, I'll sell the animal to the goyim, but I'd want to keep the skin myself. Okay, right. I mean, Shulchan Aruch discusses ways to get the animal to the goyim, to sell the animal even though it's yontif, right? Like all the old Yiddish jokes. There are ways of doing it. Okay. Fine. So, the Magen Avraham asks a question. Why don't we say Hitru Sofa Mishum Tchilason? We want people to shecht animals on yontif because fresh meat tastes good. Why don't we say that, you know what, we'll allow you to skin the animal. We'll allow you to skin the animal because since we want you to shecht, and we're worried that if we're not going to allow you to skin the animal, maybe you won't shecht it to begin with. So let's say that we allow you to skin the animal based on this old principle of hitir sofan mishum tchilasan. So says the Magen Avraham, delo shari sofan mishum tchilasan, ela b'malacha d'rabbanon, avo hefshit hu d'oraisa. The Magen Avraham says that this principle that we allow the Hitirus Sofa Mishum Tchilasan, that we say, oh yeah, well, okay, in our case, skinning the animal, because or else you won't shech. Says Magen Avraham, no, that won't help. Because since skinning the animal is a malacha de oraisa, we never apply this principle of Hitirus Sofa Mishum Tchilasan under oraisas. We only apply it under rabbanans. This Magen Avraham is quoted by all the later poskim. Rav Moshe ignores it. Right? Well, Hotza'a is a Doraisa. Right. Hotza'a is a Doraisa. So, we'll have to talk about that in a second. But the Magen Avraham is saying that Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan only helps under Rabbanan's not a Doraisas. Rav Moshe says, you know what? But Tosis is arguing, right? And therefore, I can drive back. Driving involves many Doraisas, no? If you drive a car, you're burning the fuel. That every time you push the gas pedal, there's another Doraisa involved. That's why if you ever have to go to the hospital on Shabbos, don't drive yourself. You should have a non-Jew drive you, because every time you push the gas, there's another Doraisa. Now, what about carrying? Right? If Tosis is right, that Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchilasan applies to carrying, carrying is also Doraisa. That's your question. So, yes and no. Yes and no. Carrying could be Doraisa. It could also not be Doraisa, right? You could live in Washington Heights, so there's no real Rishus HaRabim. Or you could live in, right, any community, there's no real Rishus HaRabim. It's unclear there's a real Rishus HaRabim. Moreover, even if carrying is the Oraisa, the Chokas Yoav points out in one of his tshuvas that carrying is a lower level of a malacha than all other malachas. Every other malacha in the world is something that really changes. Carrying is described by Tosis at the beginning of Shabbos as a malacha gerua. It's a cheap malacha, easy malacha. Because what does carrying do? I move the item from location A to location B. Nothing changes. If I grind food, something changes. If I cook food, something changes. If I carry, nothing changes. So because nothing changes, carrying is considered a lighter form of malacha than the others. And therefore, maybe Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchilasan only helps on Zerah Banans and on carrying, but on nothing else. That's really normative. That's the standard approaching Judaism. Until Rav Moshe permitted Hetiras Sofon Mishum Tchilasan, even for the ambulance to go back. Now, Rav Moshe says his piece based on the Tosos and Erevin. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes very interestingly. Let's just read the Rav Shlomo Zalman. He quotes the Rav Moshe, and he argues, and then we'll move on to the next topic. Rofei shenikra l'chola mesukan mutar lachzor l'beisa aydei chelo Shabbos. Right? A doctor is called to a sick person. Can he return home? Ha'aras ha'machaber. This is an interesting comment. He writes like this: Miksas mehadavarim ha'amurim kam muvaim b'siman hakodem. Okay, some of the ideas I mentioned here I brought down in the previous essay. Ach, heyos v'nidpas b'sefer ha'choshev ha'mefursam igros Moshe chelak dalid siman pei psak halacha b'inyan ze mehay gaon v'tzadik mefursam hakadosh baruch hu yarech yamav ushnosav b'tuvu b'ne'imim. Since Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in his igros Moshe, and God should bless Rav Moshe, give him long years, right? Very nice things say about Rav Moshe. And since hadavarim nogin l'melechas Shabbos de'oraisa, hinani mefarsei mamar ze. I'm therefore, since right, Rav Moshe wrote an essay, and it's relevant for d'oraisa, I am therefore publicizing this essay. La'achar shehagaon hana'al shlita nasan li rishis al kach. After that great rabbi gave me permission. Right, this is like, I think this is like the nicest Moser lesson ever. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach basically is 5 years younger than Rav Moshe Feinstein. It could have been he was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rav Moshe also. Right, could have been he was a bigger Talmud Chacham. It's hard to judge. They both knew everything. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I'm only publishing this after I asked permission from Rav Moshe, and he gave me permission to publish this essay. Basically, Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to rip Rav Moshe to shreds. But he says, first I asked him permission. I'm only publishing it after that great Gaon gives me permission. So he says, you know what? First of all, Tosos asks this question, right? There are other Rishonim besides Tosos. The other Rishonim assume that this Gemara is simply because of Pekuach Nefesh. It has nothing to do with Hitiru Sofa, Mishum Tchilasan. The fact that I could carry my weapon back has nothing to do with Hitiru Sofa, Mishum Tchilasan. And in the underlined parts, he keeps on repeating the same point, that like Rav Moshe's read of the Gemara is difficult, his read of Tosus is difficult, etc. Then, the top of the next page, he says like this: Gam nira l'chora, lo matzino b'shas shitiru chachamim malacha d'oraisa b'nechshah she'im lo nokia l'aleim l'hatir yisrash lo mihatzalos nefashos. Rav Shlomo Zalman is an interesting point. He says, you know what? Nowhere do we see that we're nervous that Jewish people won't engage in sakanas nefashos. What's Rav Moshe's idea? Rav Moshe basically says, you know what? The ambulance driver is allowed to drive back on Shabbos. The doctor is allowed to return. Because if we wouldn't permit him to return, maybe he would be lazy and he wouldn't want to go out on the next Pekuach Nefesh call. Because he can say, well, I'm going to have to go to the hospital, and I'm going to be stuck there all Shabbos, it's going to be such a dray, he's not going to want to go. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman is like much firmer than Rav Moshe. He says, come on, anyone's going to, what Jew in their right mind would say, I'm not going to go on Pekuach Nefesh call? Someone's dying, what?
He's more Damakav
Skos, he's more optimistic. Nobody is going to do that, right? Moreover, he says, an idea that we mentioned in Shirm a few weeks ago. Rak iprahu, the matzino de ein osim malacha shatzos nefash said de katanim v'nachim, mishum de zimin de lesnaihu, v'asi gankin adur basrayim, and they apacha michal shasu yavam tokach v'dei sakona. In other words, what do we say? We say that we try to do pekuach nefesh with Jewish people who are gedolim. We don't use katanim, we don't use non-Jews. If there's somebody who has a heart attack, right, you're there, you do it yourself. Why? Because maybe the other people are going to be lazy. The Jews, they won't be lazy. Right? We're going to save them. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying, come on, you can't assume that anyone's going to be lazy. Fine. He continues, right, that nowhere do we see Nowhere do we see that we're worried. Gam nira. Here, let's go to the second set of underlines. Gam nira. De'im nachshor shel rash lanos. If we're worried about laziness, hayinu tzrichon lahatir rofei gam lahan l'kner b'shavs kedei limsos begodav ham yuchadim lo, begol achshash shama yisrash v'pam achas milovam neisha yispayash lotzeis b'li begodav ham aguhatzim. Okay, let's talk about the following situation. Right, they call the doctor for pekuach nefesh case in the middle of the night. He's wearing his pajamas, no? So, the lights are off in his closet. Are we going to say, well, you know, if he's going to go in his pajamas, he'll be embarrassed. And maybe next time he won't go on the pekuach nefesh run because he's embarrassed to be out in public in his pajamas, right? So maybe we should permit him to turn on the light to find his suit, to put on his suit to go to the hospital to do the pekuach nefesh. No one would ever say that. Why? Because we're not worried. We're not worried that people are going to delay in pekuach nefesh situations. Then Rav Shlomo Zalman says, "V'af shel tzareinu," right, in the last paragraph, even though unfortunately yesh harbe rofim kalei dasa shel gabi detu achshashu emes shem chashudim lehimana malachas lahatzil es hachola im lo yuchlo acharkach lachzo berechol veisam. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and even if you're going to tell me that unfortunately there are doctors who would delay pekuach nefesh because of these concerns, mikol makom anu ein bekocheinu lahatir mishum kach isurei Torah, we can't permit isurei d'oraisa. You can't. You can't permit an isur d'oraisa. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, we'll talk about the last paragraph a little bit later. Rav Shlomo Zalman basically says, you know what, a doctor goes out on the Shabbos to do a pekuach nefesh. That's great. Go in your car, do what you can. The way back, you can't do an Issa d'Oraisa. You can only do an Issa d'Rabbanan. So the doctor has to get a non-Jew to drive him back home. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's assumption.
Presumably you can take the subway back also?
Yes. You can take the subway back. You could do any Issa d'Rabbanan. How do you pay for the subway? Well, paying is paying an Issa d'Rabbanan also. Make sure you're not carrying in the area of the Rishus Haram. Yeah, you could do that. Whatever's an Issa d'Rabbanan that you could do. But you can't go back. You can't drive back. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman assumes. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. Actually, I like it because it's a tshuva into the doctor in Pardes Chana. When my father went to learn in Israel in 1948, he went to the high school in Pardes Chana. So apparently there was a doctor in Pardes Chana who went out on Pekuach Nefesh, call on Shabbos, and then drove back to Pardes Chana after. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank got really angry at him. He said, you know what, it was great that you went out, but you're not allowed to drive back. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank agrees with Rav Shlomo Zalman. I think the consensus of most Rabbonim is against what Rav Moshe says. Moreover, Rav Moshe is very difficult, because Rav Moshe says, well, you know what, certainly you could go back if you have the ambulance, because maybe they'll need the ambulance where you are. So the latest Rambam point out that's not true, because today the ambulances have wireless connections, right? Even if an ambulance is 2 miles away, it could get to where the pekuach nefesh, the same amount of time. You don't have to go back to the base. It's really, there's no need to return on Shabbos. That's what the latest Rambam say. Basically, the Rav Moshe is really not accepted. Let's talk about the other issue, which we'll, and then we'll come back to returning. Okay, here it goes. Are you allowed to desecrate Shabbos to save the life of a non-Jew?
I'm sure we want to keep the recording on for this.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. I mean, there's nothing to be embarrassed. So, what's the halacha? So the halacha seems to be pretty obvious that the answer is no. Right? Pekuach nefesh of a Jew overrides Shabbos. Pekuach nefesh of a non-Jew doesn't override Shabbos. It's a Mishnah in Yuma. Right here, if you'll turn to the last page, or the second to last page, the Mishnah in Yuma says, Safek nefashos docha Shabbos. What's the case of Safek nefashos? Mishnah nafalof mapolos, a wall falls down. Safek husham, safek yenosham. You're not sure if a guy's there or not. Okay? Safek chai, safek meis. Safek nachri, safek Yisrael. What does that mean? A wall falls down, and we know there's a guy under the wall. We're not sure if that guy is Jewish or non-Jewish. If he's Jewish, we could violate Shabbos. If he's not Jewish, we can't. You can't violate Shabbos for a non-Jew. It's a Mishnah. Right? It's hard to disagree. The Gemara has principles of Eva, principles that the non-Jews will hate us. Right? does Eva permit thing? Does Eva permit us to be Mechalal Shabbos for non-Jews? So it's a Gemara. Gemara Navot is Adaf Chavav, no? The Gemara over there says that we're not supposed to, again, with the pagans, you're not supposed to deliver pagan babies. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. I'm Rav Yosef, Viskar Shari Mishum Eva. If they pay you, it's permitted because of Eva. So Rav Yosef, Lameima Olude, what's called Bishabata Viskar Shari Mishum Eva. They even on Shabbos permitted because of Eva. Abaye said that no, Eva doesn't help on Shabbos. Yachla Lameima La, Didun de Mintri Shabta, Michalinan Alaihu. Didhu de Lo Mintri Shabta, Lo Michalinan. In other words, there's no Eva. Eva's the principle that the non-Jews will hate us. There's no Eva. You explain to them, and everyone will understand. We keep Shabbos, so therefore we desecrate Shabbos for our own. You don't keep Shabbos, therefore we don't desecrate Shabbos for you. No Eva whatsoever. That's what the Gemara says.
You think there's going to be no Eva when you tell somebody
it's
that?
It's a Gemara.
What world are these people in?
Right? It's a Gemara. Now, it happens that Tosus points out that this idea, even if Eva permits, Eva only permits doing Isurim Durabonon, doing rabbinic prohibitions. To do an Isur Doraisa, Eva doesn't permit anything. That's what Tosus says. Right? The Tosus in the third source over here. Fine. And the Mishnah Berurah gets all bent out of shape. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Vida, here. It's the bottom source on this page, on this fourth page. The second line, there's a period, and the Vida, you should know, Daharofim Bismanenu. Our doctors today, Afilu HaYosek Sherim, even the best doctors, the orthodox ones, Einam Nizharim Bazek Klal. They are not careful. Demasim B'cho Shabbos, Shanosim Kamar Parsos, Lerapos Ovde Kochavim. They go and they heal pagans. Right, the note on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah say that when we talk about Ovdei Kochavim here, we're talking about the people who live in India. We're not talking about the good Goyim who live like in Poland. Right, we're talking about people in India. The Kosvin, Vishochakin Samamonim, and they write and they grind up some medicines. The Ein Lahem Amashi Yismochu, they have nothing to rely on. The Afilu Nema Demutel Chal Shabbos BeIsudrabon and Mishnah Eva. Even we say that for a Drabbanon, we permit Eva, and even that, the Prima Gondim is uncertain, says the Mishnah in parentheses, Issa Do'oraisa, Bevadai Asur L'Kuliyama, certainly you can't do an Issa Do'oraisa to save a non-Jew. The Mishnah Berurah basically gets really upset. He says there's no heter for the doctors to engage in Pikuach Nefesh for non-Jews. No heter whatsoever. Out. You do it, you're Mechalal Shabbos. I remember as a kid, when I was in high school also, so there was a case of a fellow collapsed in the street in front of the yeshiva on the Shabbos afternoon. So some guy went and he called Hatzalah, and Hatzalah came and took him. Very nice. So one of the Rebbeim was a big genius. So he gave a whole Musar Shmus to the yeshiva. He said, you should know that what they did was a terrible thing, and it's Chalal Shabbos, and they're not allowed to do that. And, you know, he quoted the Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Yeah. How do you know? You really don't know. You can assume that most people aren't Jewish. I mean, this fellow happened to have been clearly an African American. The assumption was he wasn't Jewish. Again, you're never sure. But certain cases, you have good reason to suspect.
Did he get any pushback about that?
Oh, yeah.
Good. A lot of pushback.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it now.
This is modern-day American teaching things like this?
Certainly. If you have any suffix, it might be a Jew. Then
if you have any suffix, it might be a Jew, so then you're Mechalal Shabbos. That's a Mishnah Yuma. Right? Now, this topic of Pekuach Nefesh for non-Jews has always been a big topic. In 2007, July 22nd, 2007, someone named Noah Feldman wrote an article in the New York Times Magazine. Noah Feldman is a graduate of Maimonides, no? And he was very upset in the Maimonides school because his picture was airbrushed out of his, out of that reunion that, because he married out of the faith. So he accused Maimonides, which trumpets the ideas of modern orthodoxy and tolerance and living in the world, he accused them of not living up to their ideals, and Haraya, the fact that they brushed him out of the picture, he said it was brushed out of the picture, and they pointed out it wasn't brushed out, just that he was at the far end, it was cropped out. Fine. It became a whole issue. Part of Noah Feldman's screed against modern orthodoxy was as follows. He writes, can read it. One time, Maimonides, a local physician, came, right, and he addressed the school assembly about the challenges that modern Orthodox professionals may face. And he mentioned the Talmudic dictum that saving a life trumpets the Sabbath, but it only applies to the life of a Jew, not to the life of a non-Jew. The rabbis of Talmud, however, were unprepared to allow the life of a non-Jew to be extinguished because of the Noah commandment, so they ruled that the Sabbath could be violated to save the life of a non-Jew out of concern for maintaining peaceful relations between Jewish and non-Jewish communities. Right? In other words, according to the strict halacha, you're not machal Shabbos for a non-Jew, but because of concerns of maintaining peaceful relations, you are. That's not true. That's not true. No one says that you are mechal Shabbos for a non-Jew. Everyone says you are mechal Shabbos for a non-Jew. But no one says it's because we are trying to maintain peaceful relations. Right? We do a lot of things to maintain peaceful relations. We give tzedakah to non-Jews to maintain peaceful relations. There's lots of mishnayos and gittin. But we are not mechal Shabbos to maintain peaceful relations. Why are we mechal Shabbos for non-Jews? His presentation here is just ruling. When Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews, turn to the last source over here, the Chsam Sofer. This Chsam Sofer is quoted by everybody. The Chsam Sofer talks about, here, let's begin with the paragraph that says Umnam. Right? Umnam, Kanal. Okay? This whole idea, remember, that we said earlier, that we're not Mechal Shabbos for Goyim, and when we do, we only do Drabbanon, that's only when there's a concern of Eva. In a situation that there is a concern not for Eva, but for Sakanta, for real danger, because we live among the non-Jews, and they are going to increase hatred. V'yomen they'll say, ki damo sha'oviko chavim kao ba'inim, that we don't care about non-Jews. V'lo yekabel teretz deminta shabbata, right? And they won't accept this answer the Gemara has, that, oh, we keep Shabbos here from Mechal Shabbos for us, right? Moreover, v'o b'rof ha'makomos harofim heim goyim, if a Jew isn't Mechal Shabbos to save the non-Jew, so the non-Jewish doctors aren't going to save Jews. Therefore, the Chsam Sofer says we do violate Shabbos for non-Jews, but not based on the principle of Eva. Eva means that we don't want them to hate us. We don't want them to dislike us. We want to keep peaceful relations. It's not because of peaceful relations. It's because of a concern of sakana. It's because of a concern that we are worried that, again, this sounds very much like the recent stories in the news about organ donation, etc. But there's a sakana involved. There's a potential risk to Jewish life. If we don't save the non-Jew, a Jewish life will be at risk. That's what the Chsam Sofer said. Why? Because the non-Jewish doctors won't save us. And because if we don't save the non-Jews, what's going to happen today? Right, we're in the Chsam Sofer's time certainly, there's going to be a pogrom, no? Today, a Jew doesn't save a non-Jew on Shabbos. What would happen is that the newspapers would carry the story in a second, and who knows where Jews are going to suffer. So therefore, we are Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews because of this risk of sakana. And what we mentioned earlier is that any far-fetched risk of sakana is enough reason to be Mechal Shabbos. That's point one. It's not because of the principle of Eva, rather it's because of a real sakana issue. Now, yeah. It's not.
But you could have just put that in and it still would have been the same point.
Again?
Noah Feldman could have put that in and it would be
right.
The same
point. Right, so Noah Feldman's point is still real. In other words, the fact is fundamentally the halacha doesn't allow us to be Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews. Right? We have like this backdoor way around that allows us to be Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews because we're worried about ourselves, basically. Right? If anything, it sounds worse. It sounds very self-serving. I mean, that's all true. I think part of it, we have to say, honestly, halacha is not fully fair. It's not. The halacha is a system of Jewish law. And we really can't be machal Shabbos for non-Jews. Now, I could also be very fancy. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, when he used to be asked about this, he used to quote that the Me'iri, right? Everyone knows the Me'iri. The Me'iri says that when we talk about non-Jews in the Gemara is referring to the type of non-Jews who are not umos hagadurim b'darchei hadassos, who are not nations that have laws. But the Christians that the Me'iri lived with down in the French Riviera in the early 13th century, those Christians had laws, and therefore the Me'iri said, you're allowed to be mechal on Shabbos for a Christian. Now, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha used to say that we pass like this Me'iri. Or so I heard from my friend Sally, Meir Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron was already nifter by the time I heard about this, so I couldn't ask Rav Aaron himself. So Sally gave me the number of Dr. Applebaum, who was Rav Aaron's big Talmid. He said I should call Dr. Applebaum. So I planned on calling Dr. Applebaum. It turned out he was killed the week I planned on calling him. This all happened that week. Like Dr. Applebaum, he had that daughter, Nav Applebaum, and they were killed.
Dr. Applebaum ran Terem.
So Dr. Applebaum was the big Talmud of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He knew all of Rav Aaron's psakim. He was the one who used to go around saying that Rav Aaron felt that l'chatchilo yolatu l'chalo Shabbos for non-Jews based on this Me'iri. It's not written anywhere. We tried to get confirmation. The family has a tradition, that's what Rav Aaron said. What's the Me'iri based on? The Me'iri is based on his understanding of Shas. The Me'iri says it 100 different times. The fact that the Me'iri says it about certain dinim, about doing business with non-Jews is easy. But the fact that the Me'iri says it about Chilol Shabbos is a big chiddush. Professor Halbertal, in his book on the Me'iri, has a whole chapter about this. To try to analyze that position. It is something. There's also the approach that Rav Nachum Rabinowitz has, that in Israel you can be Mechal Shabbos for Muslims, because Muslims for these purposes are considered monotheists, and therefore the Isser of Chol Shabbos doesn't apply to them. These are all very far-fetched. Far-fetched is another English word that sounds Yiddish. These are very far-fetched, right? These are very far-fetched ideas. It doesn't really resonate. Most poskim follow this idea that it's just because we're going to be in a dangerous situation. Now, Noah Feldman decides to use this as a screed, as an attack on Orthodox Judaism. And he basically said, depending on how you look at it, either the ruling is an example of outrageously particularistic religious thinking, because in principle it values Jewish life more than non-Jewish life, or it's an instance of laudable universalism, because in practice it treats all lives equally. Right? It's a nice way of saying it. Right? In practice, we'll be Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews, but in theory we shouldn't. Noah Feldman goes on to be very upset about this. Okay. Dr. Lamb wrote in the foreword a response to Noah Feldman. There, I looked online today, saw around 25 different responses to Noah Feldman. Everyone and his uncle is responding to Noah Feldman. Basically, he says, you know what? Surely you, as a distinguished academic lawyer, must have come across instances in which a precedent that was once valid has in the course of time proved morally objectionable, as a result of which it was amended, so that the law remains on the books as a juridical foundation, while it becomes effectively inoperative through legal analysis and moral argument. In other words, effectively, the halacha is the halacha. The halacha on the books remains that we're not Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews. But practically speaking, we are Mechal Shabbos. However we get there is kind of for us to deal with. However we get there is, how do we maintain both the sanctity of the law and also, practically speaking, every posek, by the way, the Tzitz Eliezer, Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and Reb El Yashiv, and Reb Moshe, every posek rejects this Mishnah Berurah. They say, the Mishnah Berurah himself didn't like the Mishnah Berurah, that's why he writes, this is only true in India. Right? Every posek assumes that we are Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews. How we get there is still a big problem. And it's a problem that really involves how do we, at the one hand, maintain the sanctity of the law, and also, how do we live in this real world? So the mechanism might be a bit forced, but that doesn't mean that the entire system isn't binding. If anything, that's the beauty of the system, that we try to maintain the law on the books, even at a time when it is morally objectionable. Yeah, you had a comment?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think that there's a downside that we feel this need to go through all these twists and turns to justify what halacha is? In some ways, we're showing that we're embarrassed of the foundation that it's built on.
Of course there's a downside.
I mean, it seems like it's sort of a weak position to come from, where we're instead of just...
I think ultimately we have to realize that, there are halachos that we don't understand. And this is one of them. But the commitment to orthodoxy means that we don't just write the law out of the books.
Right. And I think by sort of the response, like Rabbi Lamb's response, it's sort of saying that we're really embarrassed of what halacha is based on, and we make this distinction. And instead of... I mean, I understand how it's uncomfortable
I think over here our hands are tied. I wish there would be a better alternative. I just don't know what it is. I mean, again, that Me'iri might be a better alternative, but it's very hard to pass on the Shaila based on one Me'iri. Yeah.
So if I understand Rabbi Lamb, he's saying the real reason that we pass on Lamaisa, that you can save 900 lives, is because it's the moral thing to do, but we can't just change halacha because we think it's the moral thing to do, so we had to find this formal justification of Sakon.
That's right.
And then he compares it to instances in secular law where we've clearly done that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's one thing to say, something in the U.S. Constitution we now find morally objectionable. The founding fathers of the United States of America weren't God. How do you say that something that God legislated became morally objectionable?
Listen, of course, the comparison doesn't really hold water. But at the same time, all legal systems share something in common. And legal scholars are always struggling to maintain the text and also to have that text serve as a living document. So the struggle that we have here is the same struggle that every legal scholar would have. That's his only point. I don't think he's really making a full-fledged comparison. It's just a mashal. The story is told about how Professor Shol Lieberman used to walk home every Shabbos from davened in JTS. And I think it was Professor Niebuhr from Union Theological Seminary across the street would walk home with him. Okay, so he'd walk home on Shabbos. So one Shabbos afternoon, I heard the story from Dr. David Berger. So one Shabbos afternoon, as they're walking home, so Professor Niebuhr turns and he says, Rabbi Lieberman, if I would fall down on the ground right now, and in order to save me, you would have to violate the Sabbath, would you do so? So he said, yes. So then Professor Niebuhr is no dummy, says, are you saying that as a matter of principle, or are you saying that only because you want to maintain goodwill, like Mishum Eva? So Professor Lieberman said, Rabbi Lieberman said, I'm saying it as a matter of principle. Good. Then he turned to...
After Professor Niebuhr.
Left, he turned to Professor Finkelstein, who was also there, and he said, Das Eichet habe ich gesagt Mishum Eva. Right? Meaning, I also said that I would do it as a matter of principle out of Ava. Right? Now, that story, I think, is very telling in terms of our approach over here. Now, you're right. It's not really Ava. It's really Sakanto, which is a zooped-up Ava. It's not just we want to maintain goodwill. It's that we're really worried about what could happen. And we have seen the consequences. It's not like... It's not like even in recent times there have been cases that people were not Machal Shabbos for non-Jews, and it can lead to terrible situations. We know that. We know that it can. What? Crown Heights.
That's right. It was caused by the misperception that Hatzalah wouldn't treat a non-Jew.
Correct. So, I mean, the fact is, it's real. So every posek would say that we are Machal Shabbos. The justification of how we get there is ultimately based on this reasoning of Sakana. Now, what's interesting over here is that if we take this back to where we started from, right? So if I go out on Shabbos, so am I allowed to return? So the answer is, well, it depends how am I returning, right? According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, according to most poskim, right? I can return from a Pekuach Nefer situation through an Isid Rabban. I can have a non-Jew drive me back, but I can't drive myself. If Moshe said a Jew could drive himself back, generally speaking, Rav Moshe is not accepted. The Chassam Sofer in this tshuva interestingly says like this, V'nirali, the underlined parts, the Al-Koponim, Asur Lachzor Lomkomo, Acha She'osak B'Refuos, She'oso Hagoy. Delod Dami Lahochem Lahatzom in Hagayis, Dechozom Lomkomom, Dehitziu Sofer Mishum Tchilasom, Shemo Yilo Yeochu, V'yisakonu L'Yisraelim. Avohacha, Afagav Den Lo Yelech, Lasok B'Refuos, Efshar She'yisakonu, Mikom Mokom in Lahatir Lasim Mishum Tchilasim, Dora Shigam Hubisakana, Adraba Ikara Sakana Hu Al Atmo Lekalamechash, etc. Meaning to say, the Chassam Sofer has the following idea, and this is really accepted by many poskim. He says, we only permit you to return, even with an Isser Derabbanan, if you're going to help somebody else. Because then we're concerned, you know what, maybe you won't be as careful next time, you won't go as quickly, so therefore we allow you to return with an Isser Derabbanan. But in a situation that I am going to save a non-Jew, where fundamentally the idea is that I am going out to save myself, not to save the non-Jew. So in that situation, says the Chassam Sofer, we're not really nervous that you're not going to go out next time. Because every time there's a non-Jew who requires pekuach nefesh, you realize that your own life is in danger, so therefore, of course, you're going to go out, and therefore, we don't give you the special kula of returning even through a non-Jew. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. This is kind of wild, no? This is kind of wild. In other words, if I go as a doctor on a Pekuach Nefesh run, so I'm allowed to ask a guy to drive me back home. But that's only if I'm going to save a Jew. If I'm going to save a guy, according to the Chassam Sofer, I'm stuck in the hospital on Shabbos. I can't return. Because since when I'm going to save the guy, I'm really going to save myself. Right? So there's no concern that next time when I'm in danger, I'm not going to go and save myself. Everyone wants to save themselves. Right? So you're shaking your head. Why? And I think the shaking the head makes a little bit of sense over here. Because you're right. Fundamentally, it is based on pekuach nefesh for a Jew. But the fact is there a concern that you might not be so careful about it? I think there would be. Because you might not always be sensitive. Right? Every time that someone requires pekuach nefesh, you're going to rush out to save their lives? I don't know. I think if you'd be stuck in the hospital for a guy, you might not rush. And if you're not going to rush, you'll be in the same situation. So I could hear the argument of Itu Sofer Mishum Tchilasan in this case also.
But in real life, can't you have a rotation where a person is not up against this every single Shabbos? He's up against it once a month.
But let's say it happens on my week.
He doesn't get desensitized.
No, correct, but when it happens on my week, if on my week there's a goy that requires pekuach nefesh on the Shabbos, what do I do then? What do I do then? So the Chassam Sofer would say, well, of course you're going to rush to save him because you know that your own life is in danger. I'm not so convinced that people realize this.
Think about how you feel about it if the guy dies and you have to live with this for the rest of your life.
It could be. I don't know. Okay, so again, the issue of pekuach nefesh for non-Jews is a very sensitive topic. Honestly, if you read in the Torah Modern Journal, Volume 7, so there's some letters that they published from the Sri De Eish that became like a whole course of life, right? And some of those letters, then the Sri Deish is one of the Gedolei Yisrael. The Sri Deish basically says, you know what, I don't understand the Torah's approach to non-Jews. It really bothers me. And he was writing these letters to Professor Samuel Atlas, who at that point was in HUC. The fact that one of the Gedolei Yisrael is able to pen a lot of misgivings about these halachos, I think means something.
Yes.
I think we have halachos on the book. It is really what Dr. Lamb is getting. It's getting back to Dr. Lamb's point. We have halachos on the book. We can't just ignore halachos. We can't just write them away, right? Practically speaking, we will be mechal Shabbos for goyim. Everyone would say that. How we get there is questionable. But the trouble that we have with the Gemara that treats Jews and non-Jews equally is a certain modern sensitivity. Now, if I'd be very firm, I'd say, well, we shouldn't have trouble with it. We should be toyridic, and we should only... But I'm not so firm.
It's not going to fly.
So,
again, it is troubling. This halacha is not as simple. It's not a simple halacha to understand. Yeah.
You just conclude the final paragraph in English from Rabbi Lamb.
Right. Let me clarify. As an Orthodox rabbi, it's strictly forbidden by the halacha to deny a non-Jew whatever is necessary to save his or her life. Absolutely correct.
It says, there must be no discrimination whatsoever. Makes sense. Every human being is created
in the image of God and has a right to life and health.
That's what Reinhold Niebuhr wanted to hear.
Right. But the point is, you know, it comes back to Shaul Lieberman's last statement of Das Eichet Habech Gezak Misham Eva, which is, yeah, I'll say this. But the reason I'm saying this is not because on the fundamental level we believe it's 100% correct. Right? It's also because of Eva. It is, again, if we want to maintain the integrity of the system, we have to say it with the Das Eichet Misham Eva. I don't know of any other way of coming to grips with this.
That makes the guy sound like a complete hypocrite. I mean, can you imagine if that got back to Reinhold Niebuhr? Can you imagine? I mean, he was a nice guy. Maybe he would have forgiven him. But I mean, can you imagine?
I think you're just hitting on why this troubles many of us. This is not a simple thing. Again, if we want to deal with, you know, apologetics and try, we can, but ultimately it's troubling. Any other comments? So basically, the halacha is that if you're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews as well as for Jews, but fundamentally this difference exists and it will play out in terms of Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchilasan, according to the way the Chsam Sofer says it. There's some room to question the Chsam Sofer, where Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and most poskim seem to accept it. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. So next week we'll talk about Chol HaSheein Bo Sakana, and then we'll... Yeah.